I think for many of us, there's a sense that we're living in the midst of a major crisis, that our country is quite divided. To me, the shooting last weekend at the Tree of Life Synagogue makes it feel as though that's even more true. As a spiritual leader of the Jewish community, but also as a person of faith, what has helped you in the past few days? Is there hope in the midst of so much darkness?
What happened at the Tree of Life Synagogue was devastating to America in general, to the Jewish community in particular. To the Jewish community in particular, in the 240 years or so of our country, the American Jewish experience has been so different than the way we've experienced life as a people for 2,000 years. America was different. Not that there wasn't anti-Semitism, and not that there weren't anti-Semites, but the idea of massacres taking place in places of our worship, those were beyond the pale. That didn't happen in America. So particularly for the Jewish people, this has been a very difficult week. We feel broken. We feel no longer safe, where maybe we were lulled into a sense of American security, that America is finally going to be the different place. So particularly for us, it's been difficult. I think for America, it doesn't feel like this is us. This is not who we are as Americans. And I'm not sure how we get out of this, except I've been thinking a lot about the idea of what maybe has brought us to this place. Evil and goodness are part of our human experience. There are evil acts, there are good acts. There's evil people, there are good people. And a lot of times it's each of us have both within us. What has maybe generated this feeling that this is changing is that evil words and thoughts have been weaponized through the media, through leadership that does not try to bring the upward reach again, that evil acts that have been pretty much kept in the dark corners of America are now much more open because, again, words have been weaponized to create that. What gives me hope is I think that what we can do is learn to weaponize goodness. And what I've noticed throughout the pain and the suffering that the Jewish communities have gone through in America is the outpouring of love. Incredible acts, not just of people picking up the phone or emailing or private messaging, but simple acts of kindness that we're experiencing here in West Virginia. When we had a joint service, the temple and the synagogue, people from the Christian community, the Muslim community, people of all faiths, no faiths, asked if they could just come and just quietly be with us. Sunday morning, the day after the massacre, I was at synagogue. We were at services, and like most of us, we were, you know, could it happen here? And we walked out, and there was a bouquet of flowers. We don't know who left it. Someone took a picture of it, of actually the family. And that person told me that the family was actually, the little children were deciding where to put it, and the parents were there. That's the simple act of goodness that needs to be weaponized. So I posted that on social media. When people saw that, that brought tremendous comfort to people. Other people started doing other acts. And so just as words can become weaponized and create evil acts, goodness can be weaponized through social media as well. I'm rambling a little bit, but one of the things I'm thinking of is there's two ways that we get out of problems. One is top-down and the other is bottom-up. Top-down would be leadership. Our country is filled with different cultures, different experiences, and we're a divided country. We're a divisive country at times. We have a robust discussion about politics, about religion, about everything. And yet, whenever it got a little too hostile, leaders led. Leaders from the top down brought us together, united us, and reminded us of our better angels. And that's not happening. So maybe it's time for the other way, and that is bottom up. We need a movement of goodness, and we can weaponize that. And maybe that's our obligation. That's what we owe America, because that's what America is all about. In Huntington, I just posted last night, I don't know if you saw it, at the B'nai Shalom congregation, someone had drawn graffiti on the sidewalk. Usually when you hear graffiti by a synagogue, uh-oh, swastika. the words, "You are loved." It's already been shared like 130 times. Again, that's weaponizing goodness. That is taking good acts, because that's what America is all about. That's what people are all about. We have evil thoughts. And yes, sometimes it translates into evil acts. But that's always been controlled, and it's always been brought back into that evil bottle through leaders or through people that talk in properly. It's not happening today.
You mentioned when there was service on Sunday that there were thoughts, you know, could this happen here? Have there been discussions about changing any of the security measures or anything at the temple?
Unfortunately, the idea of securing our places of worship is not a new experience. It's been going on for quite a while in America, which is sad. And it's not just churches. It's not just synagogues, but it's also mosques and churches. These places are supposed to be places of entry where people are lost, brokenhearted, that they know that that door is open. That hurts. That hurts me, that we need to rethink how places of worship should be. Our synagogue has always been open. Pretty much 6 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night, you can just walk right in. And it did make a difference, and you were welcome. That's the way churches were. That's the way mosques were. And now, unfortunately, that's been shattered. We've been needing to, and we continue to, upgrade our security. And unfortunately, because of this incident, we're rethinking it again and where our critical needs are now.
You know, we've talked in the past about parts of the Jewish faith being welcoming to the stranger, and how I know you've been involved with
refugee
resettlement. Yeah, have there, and that was sort of an issue that maybe was on the mind of this shooter. Has that issue come up again? Do you feel more committed, just as committed to that cause now?
The shooter talked about one of the reasons that he was going to do what he did was not just because it was a hate crime, and not just because they were Jews, and not just because of Jewish ideas, but Jewish ideals, and broadening that, Christian ideals, Muslim ideals, ideals that all humanity share, and that is to welcome the stranger. That bothered him. He was worried that America is being invaded. And again, that's when the words were being weaponized by the top down, that these caravans are coming. And who are supporting it? The Jews. The Jews are supporting this type of refugee resettlement, open immigration, that type of stuff. Hate can't win. Evil should not win, and evil will not win. What I did after I found out about what happened, it made me want to go to synagogue more. It made me want to help resettle refugees one day in West Virginia more. It made me very proud that I'm an immigrant to this country more. And so, far from frightening me and others who are so dedicated to the idea of the American experience, that America is this huge melting pot that grows with our diversity. In some ways, ironically, he failed, because he is going to be known as someone who has energized the immigration movement, the refugee resettlement movement, the Jewish people. I was very touched, actually, on a side point, that the first responders that took care of him in the hospital were all Jews, and they knew who he was. That speaks of humanity, and that's who we're all about. That's weaponizing goodness. That is taking goodness and spreading it and showing that that's what we are all about. That's what God would want us to be, not filled with hate, but always filled with goodness.
Thanks. Can you introduce yourself just for the record?
Sure. Victor Yerecki, the rabbi at B'nai Jacob Synagogue in Charleston, West Virginia.
Thank you.